Hi, I'm Ting Ta, the reg at BHRUT for the palliative care team, and this is Teaching for Our Time. For this episode, I've got Lucy Payne, one of our palliative care consultants, with us, and she's going to be talking about advanced care planning and coordinate my care. Often people think it sort of starts and ends with resus decisions, but it's a whole lot more than that. And importantly, we want to make sure that we all know how to share this very important information with the right people so that patients' wishes can be respected as much as possible. So jumping in with Lucy, can you tell us what is advanced care planning?
So advanced care planning is really just the process of discussing, documenting, and most importantly, sharing a patient's wishes and agreed series of treatments about their future care. It isn't something patients have to do, but it's definitely something we should offer and should encourage patients to participate with. And the important thing to remember is it only becomes relevant officially once a patient's lost capacity to make or communicate decisions about their own care.
And what if a patient's already lacking in the capacity to make the decisions about their healthcare?
It's a good question, because of course that applies to a lot of our patients, and especially those who are appropriate for advanced care planning. Basically, in that situation, someone has to make a best interest decision on behalf of the patient about whether to create an advanced care plan and, if appropriate, what the content of that document would be. If the patient has an appointed deputy with lasting power of attorney specifically for health and welfare, then that person can make decisions on behalf of the patient. But for most people, healthcare professionals must make a best interest decision and they'll take into account the views of a suitable advocate who will usually be their next of kin or other family member.
And it's an important point there that Lucy made about the type of lasting power of attorney, making sure it is for health and welfare, not finances, and also that we've got a duty to make sure we see evidence of that to make sure it's all legit. Okay, so we've made, we've explored wishes and we've made an advanced care plan, but I know we're no longer using PEACE documents, so how should we go about documenting and sharing this information?
So there are lots of ways you can document and these discussions, but for example, in the medical notes or the electronic discharge summary, outpatient letters or DNA CPR forms even. But none of those are really ideal because not everybody can see them and they can easily get lost. So the best way, which we ask BHRUT staff to use, is Coordinate My Care, or you might hear it called CMC. Now, CMC is an online record of important information like preferred place of care and death, CPR status, and clear advice about potential medical problems for that specific individual, which can be accessed by a whole range of healthcare professionals across actually the whole of London, but definitely within the BHR area.
And that sounds really great, but who really is reading these records then, and how does that help the patient?
So I mean, CMC records are useful for anyone providing care to a patient. Their main role is in situations, like I said, where the patient can't express their wishes or because they're too confused or too unwell to speak. But they're especially useful in urgent care settings. So LAS really like them and find them very helpful. Out-of-hours GPs might use it. Our ED staff at BHRUT are now reading them quite regularly. And even on-call palliative care consultants find them helpful. As well as including general statements on ceilings of treatment, CPR status, the most helpful bit is actually the emergency treatment plan, because that contains specific medical issues that may arise and an individualised plan. So, for example, if you anticipate bowel obstruction may occur in the future, it's really helpful if you can document that it's not amenable to surgery and ideally should be managed in the community with a syringe driver. Or another example might be if you anticipate hematuria, it'd be really useful to document that there's no further oncological treatment available and hospital should be avoided unless there's clot retention, in which case they may need to come in to have that resolved.
And I know we can see stats on who's been accessing records, and the usage by LAS is certainly going up, and it's really it's quite rewarding really to find out that an LAS usage of someone's record has helped us to avoid a unnecessary hospital admission for somebody. Okay, so just moving on to which patients should be undertaking ACP.
So it's most important for patients who are likely to be in the last year of life or who are likely to lose the mental capacity to make decisions about their own care in the near future. I mean, really it's appropriate for any patient with a life-limiting illness or who's having treatment which has a reasonable chance of causing a life-threatening complication or damage to their cognition.
And in terms of staff, who should be doing the advanced care planning with people?
So, I mean, any member of staff who finds himself having a chat about the future with the patient is encouraged to document and share that really valuable information. So that's not just doctors and nurses, but healthcare assistants and therapists often have these opportunities, and especially to gather the kind of information about more personal sides of care. But, you know, more formally, we expect any clinician who sees a patient who already has CMC record to review it and update it if appropriate. Overall, it's the responsibility of the consultant looking after the patient to identify patients where advanced care planning is appropriate, and then to allocate someone suitable to do advanced care planning. Usually that will be a doctor or a nurse.
But yeah, I really like how you've highlighted the importance of basically gaining all of the information that we can about somebody and a fuller picture of who they are from the wider MDT. So all of this sounds great, but there is obviously quite a lot involved, and I think a lot of people are probably wondering how on earth they're going to find the time to do all of this advanced care planning.
Absolutely, and it's a really common question I get asked. I mean, first of all, I want to reassure everyone that we absolutely realise it's not possible for staff in an acute hospital like BHRUT to carry out detailed advanced care planning discussions for every single patient who's likely to be in the last year of life. Our expectation is that hospital staff should aim to publish a CMC record for every patient who's likely to be in the last weeks or short months of life. So those who are, you know, higher risk of rapid deterioration. This correlates to patients who are suitable for fast-track continuing healthcare funding or a GSF AMDA. In those cases, advanced care planning should take place over a series of discussions. So it could be during your normal ward rounds or outpatients clinics. It doesn't necessarily need to be a single intense rush discussion. And then for patients who are more stable, i.e. GSF green, we just ask hospital staff to give the patient information about CMC, and then they can ask them to use MyCMC to start their own record before finalising it with their GP or other community healthcare professional. So it doesn't have to be very labour intensive, and you don't have to do this for every patient.
And yeah, I think highlighting that it is something that can evolve over time is super important, partly because, you know, clinical condition changes over time, wishes and values change over time, as well as trying to do all of this in one go is just much too heavy going for the patient. Okay, and then another question we kind of get is why can't the palliative care team or end-of-life team take on the ACP and CMC for everybody? Because, you know, a lot of people will feel it's outside of their comfort zone, and perhaps that we're the ones with more expertise in this area.
I mean, unfortunately, there are a couple of reasons why we can't do all the advanced care planning for the trust. Most importantly, it's definitely best for a clinician who knows the patient well to have these discussions. But also there are far, far too many of these patients for us to be able to do that. Don't forget that approximately a third of hospital inpatients are likely to be in the last year of life, and goodness knows how many outpatients. So we really can't see all of them. However, we're really happy to help wherever we can. And we definitely expect to be heavily involved in the advanced care planning for any patient we're seeing due to clinical complexity. But for those less complex patients who might be known to our team just because they require fast-track continuing healthcare funding or may not be known at all, we do expect the team to carry out the advanced care planning. But if you aren't sure how to go about it, we're really happy to do some teaching and support you as best as we can to do it yourself.
And I think your stat about a third of hospital inpatients possibly being the last year of life is really quite, you know, huge. So we should really be thinking about it regularly so that we're not missing the opportunity. And then on a more practical note, how do staff get access to a CMC?
Basically, there's an online form which you can just fill in yourself. The easiest way to do that, I think, is to just Google Coordinate My Care, then select the page that's for healthcare professionals and scroll down to the user access form for staff with an NHS.net email. It's a very simple form that just takes a couple of minutes to fill in. And then a couple of days later, you usually receive your login details. We're going to update the palliative care intranet page with a direct link to that, but it's not there at the moment, I'm afraid. And then once you've got access, you can just select CMC from the BHRUT apps via the Windows menu from any trust computer. I should probably mention now that every patient in the BHR area with a CMC record also has a Medway or Symphony alert telling you about that CMC record. So you'll be able to see them there too. But personally, I just find it easier just to log on to CMC and look there.
Brilliant. And so finally, what would you say are the most important things for everyone to remember about ACP and CMC?
So I think the things that I really want everybody to take away from this are, firstly, that every patient who's likely to be in the last year of life should have a CMC record. So we should be checking for one every time we see a patient with a life-limiting illness, and then either updating it or offering advanced care planning if they don't already have one. The palliative care team can help you with any problem viewing or writing CMC records, but usually you'll need to have the ACP discussions and write CMC records yourselves. And then finally, when you write a CMC record, the most important bit is the emergency treatment plan, which should contain clear, individualised advice for medical professionals to for predictable problems which may arise. Mm. So you don't just say, call the GP. You need to actually give specific advice and instructions. Mm-hmm. And really, that's it.
Amazing. So that was, really comprehensive overview. So thank you, Lucy. And we've, as always, do contact us, particularly the end of life facilitators, for support regarding ACP and CMCs. Thank you very much, everyone.